Good afternoon. This is Arman. Today's January 18th, 2018. Still early enough in the new year to review the past year as well as go over your goals and establish new vision for yourself for the new year. And I like to focus on a two-year and a three-year vision as well. We have 2020 around the corner. And one of the themes we've been talking about for the last couple of years is creating a 2020 life vision. So no better time to do it than the present and the beginning of a new cycle. So good luck with that process. In the last episode, we introduced and talked about cryptocurrency. I gave an overview, kind of like a 101 overview of what it is, how these different cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc., work, and how to get involved in it if you so choose and you're able to and interested in exploring a way from a personal financial standpoint of exploring a new opportunity, which like any financial instrument or vehicle or investment entails a risk, naturally. The markets, for anyone that has been reading the news or is invested, has probably been having grown some more grays on their head over the last week with the first really major correction that we've seen in quite some time, with most of these Bitcoin and other altcoins taking dips of as much as 40, 50, 60% of their value, literally kind of falling off a cliff in the period of 1 to 2 days. As of today, Thursday the 18th, the last 2 days, 17th and 18th, have been more stable and a bit more of a partial recovery, but there's no telling what tomorrow may bring. And what's interesting about this, not too dissimilar than the stock markets, although it's a newer vehicle, is that there's a lot of speculation on why things drop. Why did this crash happen? And I've been reading some good articles about it, as well as doing some writing of my own. I'll give a quick my take, you know, for what it's worth. No one knows for sure why these things happen. There's obviously, like any market, there's big players with big money invested in various coins that can move markets with their activity, right? So the fact that Bitcoin can now be traded on the futures exchange, Chicago, has a futures exchange where people could bet on the future price, whether it's going to go up or down. And the first set of futures contracts actually expired a day or two right before this, right around the time of this crash. So, you know, big institutional money coming in, making bets on growth, both positive and negative, I think certainly had something to do with this. The fact that we're coming from the holiday period into a new year, which is a time where people need money or extract money for other things, for their holidays or for gift purchasing and things of that nature, I think is another factor. And also regulations and fear that people have, investors have, of what governments are doing to start cracking down on the use of cryptocurrencies. China had some big news last week. South Korea, which is one of the most popular places to have both ICOs and cryptocurrency companies as well as investors, so it's one of the most bullish markets, started to get some real tough talk from some government folks. And once that stuff hits the media, whether or not it's actually real, perception is reality, right, in this world we live in. So it's a marketing and media world. And some of these stern reports that there was going to be all kinds of regulations and exchanges would be shut down creates a lot of fear. And that fear has a ripple effect. And so start seeing some sell-offs happening. Other people start seeing their assets go down and jump off the boats quickly as well. So I think those are all factors that played in. And also the fact that the growth that's happened in 2017 has been off the charts and just ridiculous. So the fact is, when something keeps growing and growing, there is potentially a bubble there. Are these companies really worth the billions and billions of dollars that has been assigned to them? Probably not in actuality, but if the market says it's worth that, if that's what the stock or token price dictates, then that's what the value is. The value is what the market says the value is. So did a company like Ripple, that's the third largest cryptocurrency, really lose 50% of its value within the last week? Yeah, the market says that it did, but now it's actually recovered and gone up over 30% just in the last day or two. So anyway, these crashes will continue to happen. If you're investing your own money or on behalf of anyone else, certainly be judicious, have some rationale and process for the decisions you're making. This isn't gambling, shouldn't be gambling. We should invest responsibly. I do believe it's still a great market with tremendous opportunities, but you have to know what you're doing. And, a lot of people probably felt and feel like they know what they're doing because we've all made a lot of money in 2017 by investing in cryptos when everything went up all the time. It makes us feel like we get it and we're making the right bets here. But when these crashes happen, it starts, shedding some reality on that situation. So certainly being diversified is a good thing. What I want to do today, and we talked about the crash, I want to build on what we started last week. Let's go into some of the exchanges. I'll give you a real-time look at how I'm evaluating some of these opportunities. And also, let's kind of recast the discussion about cryptocurrencies and bring it back to a wider lens. It's not just about a personal financial opportunity. It's about the blockchain. It's about the utilization of peer-to-peer technology. It's about a decentralization of the way regulation flows, a decentralization of the way information is managed and maintained, financial information, personal data, going more peer-to-peer, cuts out a lot of intermediaries who are typically big institutions, banks, governments, and the fact that people are starting to go direct in a peer-to-peer fashion is a threat to any and all legacy systems and institutions, which is a major part of the reason why governments and big institutions, big companies that are already established are doing their best for the most part to try and shut down Bitcoin and limit it, to regulate it. Or if they're smart, and some of them are smart enough to realize that they should learn how to play the game and be part of this kind of evolution that's happening with technology. So I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the utilizations that we're seeing. What are some of the real life use cases that we're seeing for these companies that now have billions of dollars, tech companies, just like we see out of Silicon Valley, companies like Facebook and Snapchat and Google being invented and created and then putting some real products on the market that all of us use. The same thing is about to happen in this space. So I want to talk about that because there really is a huge influx of capital, some very smart technology and solutions that are starting to come to market. And I believe 2018 is going to be the year that we really see that becoming a day-to-day presence where, whether we know it or not, underlying a transaction at the grocery store or some day-to-day use we have with our mobile phone, there'll be some kind of underlying blockchain cryptocurrency element to the things we do. It's not quite there yet. Like, I can't just use the Bitcoin on my wallet, connected to my phone to pay for things everywhere I walk around, here in New York or on trips. But in certain cities, like in Japan, certain countries, it's there. It's already at that place because they've been proactive about it. So this is the year where we see that global trend with Bitcoin and other altcoins emerge into actual use cases. I believe one interesting thing we'll see is there's so much money that's flown into these companies, we're going to start seeing some advertising on TV. So I'd look out, this year's Super Bowl, where we see big media splash and companies, new companies sometimes launching with their Super Bowl commercials. Well, some of the wealthiest companies in the world right now are these cryptocurrency companies that have just gone through ICOs and raised tons of money and are sitting on a lot of cash. I think we're going to see, at least I would predict, five references to altcoins, Bitcoins, cryptocurrency, throughout the course of that, 3-4 hour Super Bowl telecast, with particularly 1 to 2 major commercials. So let's look out for that and see if I'm right, or if somehow mass media, television media is rejecting the overtures. Usually they don't say no to a new tech company that's ready to spend money for the ad spots. But so let's see about that. So let's go in and continue on last week and dive into some of the exchanges and just look at some of the activity here. I'm going to get to my laptop and go to CoinMarketCap, which is a great resource for listing all of the different, not all necessarily, but the most of the major cryptocurrencies. So right now they're listing almost 1,500 of them. We can see up here the total market cap of nearly 600, just under 600, a billion. The 24-hour trading volume, which is over just over 50 billion. And the BTC dominance, which basically means how much of all the money that's invested or all the market cap is in Bitcoin. BTC short is the symbol for Bitcoin. So about a third in Bitcoin. Whereas maybe 2-3 months ago, it was 50% or more, that was in Bitcoin. So it shows that people are starting to diversify. And again, if we look at the list, here you could see, let's get like a top 20 view here. So there we go. We got top 20. And of the top 20, with Bitcoin number one, we can see that in the last 7 days, almost everything's red. Almost everything's red, but not as bad as it was. If we checked 2 days ago, it would be minus 30% plus red for a lot of these. And within the last 24 hours, everything started to recover a little bit, partially. One trend I like to look at is to see which companies have been able to kind of buck the trend or somehow maintain stability or gains even in spite of general losses across the board. And one of them you could see right here, number 8, is NEO, right? NEO, which is a kind of platform play like Ethereum. So it's not necessarily as much focused on its own currency, although it is affiliated with another, let's say, subdivision called Gas, which is a currency. NEO itself is more like Ethereum. It's a platform upon which people can build their tokens and build smart contracts and other types of blockchain-based smart technology that allows people to do various transactions and store different types of information. So it's a really nice company. The technology seems solid, has gotten great reviews. And amidst all these declines, NEO has actually increased 30% in the last 7 days. So personally, I invested in NEO about a month ago, and I've been seeing it rise nicely. It's at $145 a share right now. They also have a pretty nice circulation. So this circulating supply is important, because it's essentially the number of tokens or coins that cryptocurrency has. And obviously, the less coins there are, the more potentially valuable they might be. So there's, the supply isn't just endless. So just traditional economics, supply and demand. If there's less supply, usually there'll be more demand in markets like these for pricing to eventually rise if people really value those coins. So NEO is one to definitely keep your eye out for. I think, again, I'm not a financial advisor, not making any kind of investment advice here. I want to make that clear. That's a good, important disclaimer. But it's something I think is going to, continue to grow nicely. I'm sure it'll, have its own ups and downs. But I do see NEO going to, above 250, maybe 300 over the next several months. Another one I mentioned last week that I had my eye on, it is also in the top 20 here, is EOS. EOS is one I actually did pick up since last week. Picked up some of that, and it's performing well. And again, you have to do your own diligence. The thing to do here is, if you're looking at this list, is to find out, you could see what the trends have been. You can click in deeper. I think we looked at EOS last week as well. Let's actually go back and look at NEO instead. Let's go look at NEO at 145 now. You can take a look at the charts, and what I like to do is look at like the last month or the last 3 months to see in the recent 90 days, this green line here is the price. So 3 months ago, NEO was at 28.85, and you could see a pretty steady ascent. 28, you know, all the way up the charts to a high of 185, which is like an 8, 9x, 9-time return. And then it came down a little bit. It's as low as 114, and now it's back up to 145. So, you know, there's kind of a technical analysis where you see what the general trend line has been and try to consider making investments based on that. But as always, you know, you should go research the team, look at the website, listen to, you know, people, you know, like myself and others, you know, talk about these different companies. You know, again, clicking into the website, read about the team, look at their roadmap, looking at their social media. This is something so interesting about this space. This cryptocurrency world has literally opened up so many new opportunities. There's new opportunities for consulting, for marketing agencies like Blue Liner, the one I'm, you know, involved with as a founder, opportunities to start doing marketing to help these newly funded companies. Because essentially half of the battle is building good technology for them and the other half is marketing it. And I would even argue the marketing might even be a more important element because a lot of these companies haven't even built their technology yet, right? They're raising money based on a promise of what they're starting to build. Maybe they have a prototype, maybe they don't. But it's really about the kind of hype and the marketing and the excitement they could build around it. So that opens up opportunities for marketing agencies like us to help service some of these companies. And in fact, a week from now, we're going to have a major announcement that I'm going to make where we're going to be announcing our own ICO, initial coin offering. And we're getting into the game with an investment in a blockchain financial technology company that I believe, you know, can be a real game changer, a real revolutionary type of solution. Won't talk about it too much now. Save the surprise for next week's announcement. But that's something that we'll make public, and I'll talk about it in the next episode. So it's amazing to see these new opportunities coming up for people that want to be part of this and be part of it in a way that they could bring value to it. Another example is I know someone that I'm connected to on LinkedIn who's been a technical writer, a copywriter, a very talented professional who now focuses exclusively on writing white papers for new ICOs and is getting one request a day, charging $5,000 to $7,000 for helping to write white papers. So again, take the craft and the skill you have and then apply it towards this niche, and there'll likely be some opportunities at hand there. The other thing is that, you know, it's spawning new media, like let's say the social network Telegraph, which is essentially just a group chat, something I never used. I know it existed before, but the fact is these cryptocurrency companies focus on it nearly exclusively. Let's take a look at this is the NEO website, and at the bottom, well, they're not using Telegraph, which is interesting. I think it's because they're mostly based in China, and they've got some different social networks they're more akin to out there. But let's say WePower, which is a really cool, you know, green energy trading platform, which I'm actually looking to participate in their ICO, which is coming up in 14 days. So here you can see a typical landing page of a blockchain company. You know, you state what it is, you've got your little countdown and your register for participating in the ICO, and then information about your white paper, your platform, your team. But look at the first social media. Look at these first two. It's Telegram and Medium. You know, and these are the two most popular ones. And now it's all I focus on. When I want to learn more about that company, I'm going to go to their Telegram channel and just participate in the group chat and just listen to what the buzz is. So it's kind of like a new form of Twitter / WhatsApp / Facebook Messenger, but almost exclusively or largely adopted by the cryptocurrency community. So it's amazing the power that this community has had to empower new media, new social media. So both Telegram and Medium are are platforms to keep an eye out for. I would always recommend reading the white paper. You know, it takes a little time and effort, but if you're going to seriously invest your own money, you should definitely read the white paper, learn about the company. And obviously, if you're already involved in a certain industry, like let's say you're in media and marketing, there's plenty of blockchain-based media and marketing companies. Since you know something about that field, it would make sense to try to invest in companies in that space, because you'll be able to tell. You'll have a bit of a meter and a kind of domain expertise and knowledge that can help you make decisions about what can be truly innovative in that field. So that's something to keep in mind when you're making your own personal investment choices. I want to talk briefly about ICOs, what they are, how to participate in them if you so choose. It's obviously at the more high risk end, because you're talking about companies now that are just raising money for the first time, most likely in most cases, and that haven't, you know, necessarily proven themselves yet. So it's speculative and you're getting in at an early stage, but because of that, you're also getting in potentially at the best price. So the way it works, similar to an IPO or an initial public offering in a stock market like, you know, the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ, it's a much less regulated and faster track to a similar process of raising capital. So ICO stands again for initial coin offering, and they're rampant right now with brand new cryptocurrency companies. So how it would work is like what you see, you know, what I showed earlier on the WePower. You can take a quick look here. A company will basically issue its own token, come up with a supply number, let's say 1 million tokens. And you know, they have to define what those tokens are going to be used for. Sometimes they're used as what's called a utility token, to do things within that platform. So if you actually own some of that token, let's say the WePower token, you can do certain things, you know, in that platform. You could obviously trade it for other kind of value, for other types of money or currency, or you could actually do things like acquire services, pay for energy or electricity, things of that nature in this context. So in every context, the company has to define for people their, what's called their token model or policy. So here under WePower, we can click on that button and then we could read, they'll describe, you know, how the token model helps, is backed by green energy and is tradable, usable, and liquid. You know, it's also had the approval of some regulators there, which is I believe positive in this case. So again, in the case of an ICO, it gives investors or potential, you know, people, I guess in this case, energy traders or people that are involved in this industry, a chance to get in at the ground level. So again, I'm going to come out of the WePower example and just give a general example, saying if I'm going to launch an ICO and say I've got 1 million tokens. And when we do the ICO, we're going to set a price of, let's say, $10 a token, right? So that's basically going to give my company a value of $10 million, you know, $10 a token times 1 million. And now I say, I'm going to do two rounds of pre-sale, and I'm going to pre-sell a certain percentage of those shares, not 1 million, because all I have is 1 million overall. So you have to kind of describe, and you have to be very explicit about this. And in your white paper, these companies describe right up front, here's our allocation of those 1 million tokens. We're going to keep 10% for our management team and our founders, let's say 100,000. We're going to sell 40%, so let's say 400,000, through this ICO and the ICO presale. And then we're going to retain, to keep it simple, the other 50% is going to be for early adopters or users of our platform, of our product when we build it. So we're going to keep 50%, or let's say 25%, we're going to keep for users of the platform, 250,000 tokens. I could have done a little sketch of all this, but I'm just, you know, describe it. And we'll keep another 25% in reserve. Again, just like the central authority for any currency, Federal Reserve keeps, you know, some coins or some of their currency in reserve to be able to just have on hand as backup. And so let's say that's the setup. So that $10 ICO price, we would say that in pre-sale, round one and two, we're going to be selling for $3 and $5. So if you get in very early, call it an early bird special, in round one pre-sale, you're going to get the tokens at $3. And that's going to last for, let's say, 3 weeks. And then when that window closes, we're going to open up pre-sale round two. And we're going to sell a certain portion of those, what did we say, 40%, or 400,000 shares for tokens. These aren't shares in a company. You don't get actual ownership. You just get a utility token or other type of token that'll have, you know, certain tradable value. So the 400,000 that we're offering through the ICO, we're going to split it up into three tranches. Let's say 200,000 are going to be sold in the ICO at $10. 100,000 are going to go in pre-sale round one at $3. And 100,000 at pre-sale round two for $5. So what does that do? It gives people that are interested in this company, that really believe in the model and that the company is going to be able to really grow and be something self-sustaining, it gives them the incentive to be an early adopter, an early investor. I know for myself, and I'm in about four or five different, four right now, ICOs, and I'm actively evaluating a number of others. I'm going to show you quickly how to do that research, because that's one thing we didn't get to last week. So let's actually go ahead and do that. But just to finish that thought, the people that get into pre-sale round one get the best price. So by the time that thing just has just its normal ICO, your $3 price, let's say you bought 1,000, you know, units worth at $3. So you got, you know, 1,000 tokens, you paid $3,000 for them. Now, by the time it goes ICO, your 3,000 is worth 10,000. So if you're already made three times your money, assuming the company's been able to successfully raise all of its rounds of capital. Then once that token goes on the exchanges, is available on Bittrex or Binance or wherever it actually trades, who knows? A lot of early investors may cash out some, and that $10 may go down. Or if the company actually is meeting its milestones and doing things well, that value could go up to 20, 30, 40, who knows, up and down like any stock, like any cryptocurrency. And then people have the choice as to whether they want to ride with the long-term view and just hold or hodl, as is the, you know, popular term, you know, in the industry, hodling, you know, hold for long-term value or take some short-term gains. That's a personal choice. Depends on what your investment strategy is. Personally, I like to support the companies based on what I believe are going to be viable startups, essentially, that I believe in their model, what they're trying to achieve, and you know, would agree with more of a holding strategy for the most part. So let's take a look now. I'm going to open up a couple of ICO research sites. ICOBench.com is the first one. Now, you know, I'll say that all of this whole industry and how these different ICOs, you know, come online and get reviewed is all very, very new, very, very new. So there's not more than a year or two at max worth of, you know, history for a lot of these companies. This site's taken a little while to load, not sure why. Let's go to a different one. Let's go to ICO Drops and see if it's, there you go. Okay, so all right, they're both loaded. So let's go back to ICO Bench. ICO Bench, you know, lets you browse hot and trending ICOs. You see WePower that I just looked at is amongst them. And the cool thing of what they do is they actually also evaluate, first of all, you could browse by categories. As I mentioned before, if you're in the entertainment industry or media, let's say, might make sense to check out, you know, what's happening in that field. There's 63 choices. And then you can go through and you can filter it in different ways as well to decide what you're, let's see, let's look at this one, AdHive. I'm looking at it because it's got a 4.6 rating score, which means ICO Bench somehow feels it's a good pick. How objective ICO Bench's ratings are, no one really knows because we don't know what they're invested in. But you know, they do their best and they try to be objective, so they say. There's also pay-to-play kind of models here where you pay to get your ICO reviewed and listed and given a certain amount of exposure. So, but let's look at this. Marketing platform with AI and blockchain. And their profile looks really strong. They got the 7 different experts, so this shows that they're actually trying to bring in some independent ratings. And people have rated their team as 5.0 out of 5 stars and their vision. So this, yeah, this looks interesting. You can see the country of origin is Estonia. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's the market they're going to advertise it or utilize their product. It's probably going to be a U.S. and a global market for this. The first AI-controlled influencer marketing platform with blockchain technology. Okay, so it tells you in 12 days their ICO starts. Now, if you want more information, just because the ICO starts in 12 days, that means the pre-sales, if they've done pre-sales, which most do, have probably already started and possibly ended. So the best getting in early price opportunity is probably over here. And even for the ICO itself, because they want to pre-approve and what we call whitelist potential investors, if it's as popular as at least ICO Bench seems to have it rated high, they might already be sold out, meaning they're not accepting new potential investors in the ICO, which means if you really like the company, you have to wait till it gets listed on an exchange, which could be 1 to 2 months after the ICO closes. But the ICO starts in 12 days, and it's saying, it doesn't say how long it's going for. No, it does. It says it's going from 1/31, Jan 31st to Feb 6th. So they plan to do a 1 week ICO period, which means they'll keep it open for 1 week or until they reach what's called a hard cap. You know, they might set, most companies set an upper limit on how much they're going to raise. You can see here, they actually mention it. Their hard cap is $1 million US. Oh, no, 12 million US. So they did $1 million on a pre-sale and 12 million for the ICO. So let's click on this. More information about the ICO should probably take us to their own website, adhive.tv. And I can actually see based on the source code that, you know, it's tracking that, you know, hey, this referral came from ICO Bench. So yeah, ICO Bench probably gets some kind of cut or kickback for, driving new people to participate in the ICOs. I should kind of remind you, okay. Okay, I'll allow that. So 12 days, again, yeah, you got to put in your email address to join the whitelist there. But this is very typical, you know, the white papers here, they've got a one pager, they've got a video. I kind of like how they're doing this design here. The token model, the team, want to see who's there, you know, the advisory board. Looks like a pretty global group. I liked it. I like this little concept with the flags they have going there. And let's see, the co-founder. It's funny that they start their advisory board. They must be high profile. And then here's the actual team. And I like this trend, you know, very simple bio. And then you want more about this person? Right here, go to the LinkedIn profile. And look at that, how they're hyping up their 4.6 rating on ICO Bench right in the lower left corner. So very smart promotion. Again, so doing research about the team, reading about the token model. Roadmap, something again everyone has to disclose, okay, what they're going to try to achieve in the different upcoming periods. This doesn't look like a lot of information actually about the roadmap. Not really crazy about that, but at least it shows what they did achieve already apparently in 2016. So again, not going to do the full research, you know, they've got a lot of good information about the market, just market research. And it's something I'll look at and evaluate later. Since I come from, you know, the marketing and media background, it's one that I would likely shortlist for my own interest. Again, you know, going back to all ICOs, you know, you can create your own filters based on rating level. Let's say, you know, let's look at stuff that's 4+, that's either upcoming or active or ongoing. You could even look at stuff that's ended if you're more interested in taking less risk and saying, I'd rather invest in companies that have already been successful, raising money, finish their ICO, I'm happy to wait till they get in on the exchange and then kind of cherry pick from there. It's just a safer investment approach. So again, based on that and then based on the ratings and then going deeper, you know, this is how you could use to shortlist, maybe let's say 10 or 15 and then shortlist, you know, 3 to 5 or however many you're interested in investing in, and then decide how much you might consider investing in each. Usually the minimums are very low, so you can get in with, you know, $100, $500. And they do sometimes cap how much you could invest, maybe up to 10, 20K in certain cases. Now, something to mention here is that if you're based in the States, there's a lot of restrictions right now about how you can even participate in some of these ICOs because of the uncertainty of regulations and the SEC and the fact that, as you can see here, the two we looked at, WePower and this AdHive, are both, you know, European-based or non-US-based companies. A lot of those folks don't want to spend the legal dollars to comply with or register in the US because it is expensive with the SEC. So in a lot of cases, there are restrictions, like right here, WePower says restrictions, USA. They don't want people from the US. Benebit, restrictions, USA and China. So China and the US have been the two toughest. These are also the two world's biggest economies, so they're going to be typically a little more traditional and slow to the game and a little more legacy and or maybe threatened by this kind of new wave of how energy and money and currency is flowing and people's attention. So they're making, you know, they're making it a little harder. So unfortunately, I've been unable to participate in certain ones that have those restrictions. And so that's something to look out for when you do your research. Again, the other one I picked up here was ICO Drops. I just like their interface. They're also featuring, you know, WePower and some others here. You know, you can see what their interface is. You know, they show you the video, they give you the key dates and information, the soft caps, the hard caps, whitelisting period, and a short review about the company with some screenshots. So it's another way, again, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of these kind of companies and ICOs coming up. So these are two good tools, there's others as well, but these are two good ones that I would recommend exploring. And you know, ICO Drops, again, look at that Telegram right there. They've got over 12,000 people in their Telegram channel. So if you click on that and go in there, you could join the group. You could see what people are discussing, what people think is of interest. And it just kind of helps you be kind of part of the conversation and get a pulse for what the dialogue and the excitement level is around some of these different companies. So hopefully that's all useful. I know it's a lot of information. I'd like to, you know, kind of keep coming back to this week to week. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the choices that I'm making in terms of companies that I'm looking at. I know for one, when this kind of drop started happening a few days back, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, things were going down like crazy, you know, and it could certainly be a little bit scary. I know a lot of people were asking, you know, me and talking amongst themselves to wonder, hey, what do we do here? Do we sell? Do we get out before this thing keeps dropping? You know, I'm a strong proponent of a holding strategy, especially if you believe in this overall kind of marketplace and what it can evolve into. It's no guarantee, but what I did per se was I had about 35 or so different positions in different cryptocurrencies, and I consolidated because I started finding and do find, because I'm not a professional trader and I've got, you know, things, you know, other day-to-day things to do and actually building companies and launching our own ICO. So I'm not sitting here watching all the ebbs and flows every day. I just, you know, it's not my profession. However, I do look at it quite a bit, and I just felt it was too much to track, and a lot of these smaller altcoins that I was kind of taking a flyer on or taking some chances on, I found myself wanting to consolidate as this prices were going down into some of the more sure players like Bitcoin and Ethereum. NEO that we looked at, that was highly price resistant even to the drop. So I started kind of consolidating and putting a higher percentage of my holdings into quote unquote these safer coins. And I kind of, came away from some of the others that I've been watching for a while and just weren't performing that well anyway, and then started dropping major part of their value. And I do think that strategy, paid off a bit. But again, it's all speculative, and we're talking about literally a week's time of this ups and downs. So we'll continue having these conversations. Why we're focusing so much of the show and the attention on blockchain and cryptocurrency right now is because this is the moment. This is the time. This is an education that I think we all need to get more of, not just from a personal financial standpoint, but from a kind of technological evolution of the way societies are run, the way currency is exchanged, the way people share their information and make agreements and transactions in a more kind of peer-to-peer decentralized fashion. I believe it's beyond a trend. It's a new kind of movement, and it has a lot of implications politically, socially, and economically. So it's worth a discussion, an active discussion and learning that hopefully this is part of that process for you if you're tuning in. Now, the challenge for the day that I'll put out there is for you, if you two things. If you haven't already invested, even if it's $50 or $100 in any kind of cryptocurrency, that's one challenge. Just do it. Stop talking about it, researching it. Just do it. Go get your Coinbase account if you're in the US, or if you're in another country, find out what's accessible to you, and get into that game with some small percentage of money you have available to you. I'm not going to tell you what to buy, but do your research. You heard some of my picks that I've made. So that's challenge number one if you haven't. If you're already in, challenge number two is to find some kind of real-world application for cryptocurrency. So for example, in my business, we're going to a couple of these ICO and cryptocurrency conferences and working with some different vendors, and we're asking them, hey, are you willing to be paid in cryptocurrency? And they're saying yes. They send us their Ethereum or Bitcoin address, which, as you know, is a long string of characters, and we're paying them that way, and they're confirming. So that's a real-world use case for how we're actually using cryptocurrency to move the economy, to move our business, instead of paying in dollars or some other kind of, a foreign currency, doing a Forex transaction. So whether it's buying something, with your coin, or finding some other kind of real-world blockchain app that you can use, that's challenge number two. Get in on cryptocurrency from a personal financial standpoint, and two, find some kind of real-world use case for yourself. So we'll check back on that. Hopefully everyone participates, takes up the challenge, and we'll keep coming back to this topic in the weeks to come. Signing off for now. Have a great day, great night, and see you next week.